Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcos, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
And now, here's your host, live from the Race Time Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Race Time Radio. So glad you carved out some time to join us here tonight in the Race Time Radio studio. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here, ready to go for the next 2 hours. And have we got a smoking lineup, Jr., for tonight?
We made it.
Yeah.
That's all we can say. I mean, holy, did we get sick last week.
Yeah, no kidding.
So Wednesday night, I ended up getting it. Yep. I ended up passing it off because sharing is caring.
Yes, it is.
We both made it. Unfortunately, neither one of us made our plans to go to Motorama this weekend.
No.
But I tell you what, did we get sick?
Yeah.
If you catch the flu that's going around right now, you're going to feel like you're going to die.
Yep.
There's no question about it. There's no way around it. That was the wildest sickness I've ever had.
Yep. 24 hours is what it lasts, too.
Yep.
I can tell you right from...
Great weight loss plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're looking to lose some weight, get out there to the supermarket, you know. don't wash your hands, and you'll be good.
Incredible, to say the least. Man, we missed Motorama. Sounds like it was a dynamite show. We're going to talk lots about it tonight.
We will.
Let me tell you who we got coming up on the show, because I'll tell you what, great lineup, and we're going to have some time to take your calls tonight. Michael Self in that Sinclair Toyota for Venturini Motorsports went out and did a dynamite job. Five Flag Speedway. Junior, you and I caught the race on MAV TV just last night. Michael Self, the real deal in that 25 car.
Yeah, definitely. And good to see Michael Self have that much success on a short track. It's going to be cool to talk to him. Obviously, we've seen him, you know, you've seen him lots in the past and kind of more on the part-time role for the last couple of years. And of course, making his full-time effort in the ARCA series this year with Billy Venturini and the 25 team and Sinclair. Just a dynamite guy and, you know, a happy-go-lucky driver, but a hard-nosed racer, at heart. And, you know, never has had the major success on the short tracks. And, you know, last night he went out there and really put a whooping on him, towards the end of that race. And it seemed like his car came to life. And, you know, a little bit of luck went his way because I think that Lessard had a really good car as well. But I tell you what, you got to be good to be lucky, and you got to be lucky to be good. He went out there and got his win at Five Flags, and good on him. It was a great race to watch.
Absolutely. We'll also hear tonight from Jason Hathaway. Yeah, driver the number 3 in the NASCAR Pinty Series.
He's that retired guy, right?
Not no more. He's
oh, no?
coming back in full
Look
tilt.
At this.
We'll hear from Jay tonight. We'll also get off to Canada's East Coast. And we'll go all the way out to PEI. We'll catch up with a two-time IWK 250 winner and a longtime competitor in the Parts for Trucks Tour. We got Kent Vinson going to join the show. We'll also hear from Kyle Busch with his win in the Xfinity Series. Kind of looks like he's doing pretty good in the Cup race, too, right now. But we will get to the hotline, and let's bring in that winner from Five Flag Speedway just last night. We have got Michael Self with us on the hotline. Michael, how you doing, my man?
I am pretty good tonight. How about you guys?
Fantastic, my friend. What a race for you last night. Junior and I watched the whole thing on MAV TV. You did a masterful job behind the wheel of that 25 car.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We, you know, it was a fun race, fun first race for me down at Five Flag Speedway, and just a great night for me to get that first short track win in the ARCA series and to kind of put on display what Venturini Motorsports has been working on over the off season, especially on the number 25 thing for Oil Toyota, just the strength of our program as a whole. It felt really good to knock a win out there early in the season.
You know, Michael, I think back a couple of years now, and we had Austin Terrio on this show, and he was at that time just getting into the 52 car, going to run a full season in ARCA. And I'll tell you what, he was pumped to run the National Series once again. He hadn't ran a National Series for a long time, and he was able to jump behind the wheel of that 52. He went out, and of course, history is right there. He goes out and wins the championship. I got to draw some comparisons between that Austin Terrio and Michael Self. Man, you got a full crack at this year. This is going to be cool.
Yeah, I hope so. I actually have a lot of respect for Austin, and I've looked at what he did that year and kind of idolized that. I mean, Austin was just an incredibly smart race car driver that entire season. When you look back on his races, and I remember watching a lot of his races that year, and knowing that he didn't always have the best race car, but he was always one of the smartest guys out there and bought home good finishes when maybe he shouldn't have had a great finish one night. So it's funny that you bring that up, because he is one that I look at quite a bit about that. But just a huge thanks to Sinclair Oil for giving me the opportunity to run for a championship after a couple years of part-time driving and kind of being in and out of racing. It's really, really exciting to have a sponsor come on board that's grown their investment and that's seen some good results from racing and has enjoyed their commitment to it enough to where they're going to give a guy like me a full shot at it.
You know, Michael, I got to give you props. I'm always a guy that talks about sponsorship a lot in this show, and you know, it's definitely a passion of mine, and it's something that's really cool to follow the storylines, you know, kind of behind the scenes with a lot of the sponsorships that are within NASCAR or ARCA or, you know, even at the local short track level. But I threw out a tweet right before the ARCA race at Daytona, you know, kind of you know, applauding you guys for taking a step and doing something that nobody really does in the garage area. And at that point, I kind of knew you guys weren't playing around. This partnership wasn't just some stickers on a race car and you were going out there. You guys had plans. And that was, you know, commenting on Billy Venturini's post of the big dinosaur sitting up on the lift gate. That's just something different. It's something small, but it's something big at the same time. Just to show that you guys are taking a different approach to showing what a sponsor can do for not only the visibility and the talking point of having a big dinosaur in the pits, but standing out and doing something that can cut through the noise and the clutter. And obviously winning does that better than anything else in the sport. So crossing those two off in the same category is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you liked it. Actually, the dinosaur on the tailgate, that was my wife's idea. She knew that Sinclair had the dinosaur, would use it at a handful of events, and she thought, you know, that would be an awesome way to maybe get a little extra TV coverage and to get people taking photos of it and kind of doing something unique, like you said. And so far, that's been a hit. We had it out on the tailgate again yesterday at Five Flags Speedway. But she and I try and put in as much work and as much extra effort into this sponsorship as we can, because, you know, she, myself, and my dad are the ones that initially went out and got this sponsorship. We did all the legwork. There was no relationship. There's no family connection there. It was basically built off a cold call of a company that has offices in my hometown, and we put a program together that we thought they would like and it would make sense for them, and have been able to grow off that. But we know sponsorship's the hardest thing any of us do in racing. Obtaining a sponsor is harder than going out and winning a race, I'd say, at almost any level of racing, especially nowadays. And we know that to keep racing, we have to keep providing results for Sinclair, both on and off the track. Winning races is great. Like you said, nothing grabs visibility and exposure like winning races does. But we have to do more than just that. And I don't want to be the driver or the marketing guy or the businessman that says, hey, you know, that's enough. We're doing enough. We're winning races and the car looks good. We want to make sure we're standing out and we're doing something a little bit extra. So we try and go that extra mile and do lots of cool giveaways and give lots of cool, unique dinosaur merchandise and swag to the fans, and make sure that we can get dinosaurs in the hands of people at the racetracks all the time, and making sure pictures are taken with the inflatable dinosaur, and really just trying to draw attention to it in those unique ways to have people asking questions about it and to be noticing Sinclair Oil sponsorship and follow us along.
We're with Michael Self tonight. He wins last night at Five Flags Speedway in the ARCA Menard Series. Dynamite job on the short track, half mile. And, Michael, that racetrack, talk about character filled. Man, it looked like it was a rough surface. Looked like you were having a lot of fun, but it was treacherous at the same time.
Yeah, character is the exact word that I use to describe it. That has to be the most abrasive track that I've run in my ARCA career. There's only one other track that I think I've ever raced before that I can even compare it to, and that would be a little half mile in New Mexico that we used to run in the Canaan West Series. But the surface is just so abrasive, and you get that a lot when you're down in that area just because of the weather and the sand in the air and how much moisture there is constantly, you know, ripping apart the asphalt. But the folks who run Five Flags Speedway have done a great job preserving it and maintaining and keeping a track that's really racy, and especially in our big 3,400-pound cars last night, you know, that was a race of mental challenge as much as physical challenge. You know, we had a really good car throughout the entire day. We were able to lead practice, second qualifying, and the worst we ever fell back to is fourth in the race, just with little changes here and there. But, you know, there were times I don't think we were the fastest car. At one point in the race, we were just able to maintain tire a little bit better and maybe be a little bit smarter about our stuff and have good pit stops than other guys. But, yeah, fun, unique, cool track with obviously a lot of history, so it makes it kind of special for me to get my first ARCA short track win there and one I would look forward to going to again one day.
Now, right off the beginning of the show, when we were kind of announcing who was going to be on here, I kind of touched on it, and I didn't mean it as a burn in any way, shape, or form, but I mentioned the fact that you got to be lucky to be good, and I felt that you were a little bit lucky towards the end. Obviously, you maintained your stuff, and you were really good and fast all the way through, but that 19 car was definitely giving you fits on the speed chart side. It seemed like that 19 car had the field covered for a majority of the race, and once he got his tires, it seemed like that's when you kind of came to life. Talk to us a little bit about that. Were you just saving your stuff through the beginning portion of that race?
Yeah, I mean, I started saving my stuff about lap five. I mean, just like hyper-conservation and what the 20 car did out front there, because I knew that he would go hard. I knew that he would try and control the pace, and I just didn't think that you could do that at that place. I mean, just after we saw how bad the fall off was in practice on our tires, I knew that conservation was going to be huge there, and probably something that I had a little more experience with than some of the young kids. And then that 19 car, you know, I've never raced against Rafael before. I've obviously heard of him, but he did a really great job. I mean, a surprising job. He went blowing by me on lap 10 or 15 or whatever it was and drove up to the lead, and I was sitting there kind of like, oh, man, you know, rookie mistake, young kid, going to wear this thing out. But as that run went on, you know, 80 laps or whatever it was, I mean, he was able to maintain. And they obviously had a great race car. He did a great job of driving it because we could creep up to him and we could gain a tenth or two here and there, and then, you know, maybe we'd lose it in traffic or he'd have another good lap or so. But he was definitely our biggest competition. I think when we both took right side tires, he was a lot better at that scenario of the race than we were. And then we fortunately felt like we had a pretty good short run car. I just never really fully utilized it because I was trying to conserve the entire race. When we got a yellow with 35 laps to go, we knew it would be a shootout at that point, and pit stop guys did an awesome job, had a great stop. We were able to come out of that one third, and whatever happened to the 19, you know, I'm not sure what they had going on when they put their four tires on, but never really saw him after that restart and know that he fell back. But, you know, if that's luck, then I'll take it. you know, I'll take that any day to try and bring home a win. But that's where we were really strong. I think Shannon Rush, my crew chief, just nailed it on the adjustment for what we needed for that 35-lap run and got our timing perfect because we had a really, really strong car that last stint there.
Looking at the Sioux Chief Short Track Challenge now, you know, it was covered through the broadcast that, you know, you're not the favorite on the short track side, but now you got to be, you know, picking up the first short track win of the year. That Sioux Chief Short Track Challenge that the ARCA Series puts up, there's a lot of money there.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I'm probably not the favorite there, and I wouldn't count myself as the favorite there. I mean, I would generally tell people short tracks, even though I've got way more short track experience than any other type of oval racing, it's not been my strongest point. I've been fortunate to win a handful of short tracks last night in the K&N series. You know, I was able to pick up, I don't know, four or five short track wins over there over the years, but yeah, I always feel like I've just kind of been the bridesmaid of the short tracks. I've always been able to run second, third, fourth, or fifth, but haven't been able to really contend for wins, or like you guys said, maybe not always have been a prominent player in that. But I think that I've focused a little bit more on that this year and where I need to improve there, and know what my competition is going to be like on those. And Shannon and I worked really hard the last couple weeks on that short track car that we had yesterday, and I think that we've definitely got the resources to be a threat for that short track championship. And every short track we go to, we know that those are the races that we need to do good at, because they're probably not going to be my strong points. We look at the big tracks, the intermediates that I've had success at in the past, and circle those races and know that those are going to be stronger races for me. And hopefully we can go into those and capitalize there. But then if we cannot lose any ground on the short tracks, that's the ideal scenario when we go for a championship. But after last night, definitely have some more confidence and going to Salem as our next race, which is actually a short track that I really enjoyed racing at last year. I've got definitely a little bit more confidence than I would have had going into this weekend.
Absolutely. It wouldn't be talking about Venturini Motorsports if we didn't talk about this subject, but what was more uncomfortable, sliding through the infield or the infield at the back straightaway at Daytona sideways and catching air, or kissing the Italian?
Probably going through the infield of Daytona, because I know that the kiss from Big Bill was coming, and I thought I was going to be able to get away from it last night, but here you can't get away from it. He comes through, he'll park the seas to get to you if you win a race in one of his cars. He'll make sure it happens. So you can embrace it and try and do what you can just to get away, but when you don't know you're about to take flight at Daytona, and then that's an uncomfortable feel.
Yeah, I would say, man. It's a tradition. It is a tradition that Bill Sr. started. That tradition's going to continue. And man, oh man, what else could you say about Venturini? Look at the lineup this year. These guys have done a tremendous job. You guys have got some great drivers behind the wheels. You got some great Toyotas underneath you. What's it like being part of that group? And do you share information with the other teams? Like, are you guys together and talking? Or is it like everybody's on their own? I know you're all part of the Venturini banner, but does everybody stay on their own, or do you guys get together?
No, it's actually a very team-oriented atmosphere. And what you said, Toyota's giving us a tremendous amount of help and giving Venturini a ton of resources. Fortunately, we are going to have a great lineup of drivers throughout this entire year. But what you have to look at is the guys in the shop, especially going back to last year when Billy Venturini bought Kevin Reed in to kind of be the general manager and oversee everything. This year we bought Shannon Rush in from Joe Gibbs Racing, and all the crew guys that we have, the personnel that we have there, and the cars that they're building, obviously with Toyota's support and help. That's where things are really maximized right now at Venturini Motorsports. I think just the amount of knowledge that they have going into each one of those cars, and everyone does work on every single car there. And when we show up at the racetrack, all of our cars are pretty much the same, no matter who's driving it. So it's a very team-oriented operation over there. We all like to help each other, and some days that's great, and some days, you know, you want to keep your stuff a little bit private, but that's not how we excel as a team. And that shows on a day like yesterday where we swept the top three positions in practice. We were able to qualify first and second, and then we were able to finish first, third, and fourth. It is truly a team effort, and it all starts with the guys putting the cars together and the crew chiefs that we have working on the stuff over there.
Well, I can tell you, I seen the big smile of the Billy Jr. As you were getting out of the race car, seen the number 25, seen Billy with a big smile, his number, man, I'll tell you what, it was something cool to watch last night. You did a great job behind the wheel of that car. Now you got a little bit of time to savor this victory. What do you got coming up for the next, month or so before you guys go back under the green flag?
Yeah, a couple weeks till we get to Salem, so I just kind of return back to normal life. Normal life for me is I'm in school full time at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, working on getting my bachelor's degree in business administration. So actually, spring break was this past week, so I head back to classes tomorrow, and we're trying to finish that up with that, and then focusing on things with Sinclair. That's kind of become a full time job. We facilitate everything for them as far as the racing program goes, and do a lot of the marketing stuff with them, and work very, very close with their entire marketing team. We got some cool stuff in the works with them, some business-to-business things that we're trying to enact and that we're trying to push through. And so that'll be a big focus on me the next couple of weeks. And also, my other job in racing is coaching. I still do a ton of road course coaching with the FCCA Trans Am Series. I've been fortunate to build a pretty good client base over there the last couple of years, and so I think we head to Road Atlanta in a couple of weeks for our next race, and I'll go head down there with my guys. We just ran Sebring last weekend and had a couple of good finishes out there, you know, so just focus back on life as a young adult, I guess, now, and settle in, and, you know, when the next one comes, and we cross that bridge.
So much for getting time to savor the win. You're a busy guy, Michael.
Yeah, I got a lot going on now, and when I look at the ARCA schedule, it's kind of, or the ARCA drivers, it's kind of funny. You know, there's a lot of guys that are 20 years old and younger, and then there's me, and then there's a lot of those guys that are a little bit older that are coming to run and have fun with it. So I'm kind of right there in a league of my own. I'm just surrounded by these young kids, you know, with Christian Eckes and Chandler and Ty Gibbs and all these kids that are fun. I mean, they're fun to hang out with, and I just look at them and I'm like, man, I remember when I was 18 and I was racing the Canyon Series, and it was just racing, man. That's all I focused on day in and day out. I just thought about racing and what I had to do to become a race car driver, and that was it. But then I look at today, and you know, I'm married, my wife and I have a lot going on. We got a house that we're kind of refurbishing, and we have 100% normal life outside of racing, so you just have to get home and put all that stuff to the side. And some days I think, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe it's not bad to get your mind off of racing and to not overthink things, and to have so much more going on, you can kind of distract yourself from it.
Well, I can tell you it's going to be cool watching you throughout the course of 2019 chase this championship. You set the stage for it last night, and the cool thing is, Michael, you've earned your way to where you are. You've earned the opportunity, and I know you're going to make the most of it. It's going to be cool for race fans, bud.
You know, I appreciate that, and I hope everyone enjoys following the ARCA series. I mean, ARCA's been a great place for me and Sinclair to call home the last couple of years. I absolutely love driving the cars, love the scheduled tracks they go to. It's cool because there's a little something for everyone. We've got the super speedways, we've got intermediates, we've got dirt tracks, we've got short tracks. I think they just put together an awesome package that I have a lot of fun with. And you know, we'll keep trying to put Sinclair in the spotlight, and appreciate the light that you guys shine on me and them as far as working to get them on a car, keep them on a car, and just hope that people continue to look for Sinclair stations and follow the Sinclair racing program here the next couple of years.
That's exactly what they're going to do, my friend. You take it easy, and we got to thank you for your time tonight here on Race Time. We sure do appreciate it. Get out there. Can't wait to see you get behind the wheel of that 25 Sinclair Toyota the next race.
I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to you guys again after that one and have another one to talk about.
We will keep your seat saved right here. You have a good one.
Thanks, guys. You too.
You bet. Michael Self, driver for Venturini Motorsports in that Toyota, did a great job in that race. That was fun to watch.
It was, for sure. And, you know, such a cool series. We talk about the ARCA series, you know, a lot with this show. And really, the neatest part about that whole story, and I know we talked in depth about it, but there's not a whole lot of actual sponsors in ARCA. You know, when you look at the TV screen and you watch the ARCA series, or you're there at the race, there's a lot of stickers on race cars, and there's a lot of B2B partnerships and things like that, and small money partnerships out there. But really, when you look at what a company can do, like Sinclair, they come in and you know, they can really take over the series in a big way, for a decent investment and get in front of millions of people. And the neatest part is that there's a way that a brand can start you know, small and work their way up. And you look at what they did. They dipped their toes in the water. They did a test program. You know, I think back to seeing Michael Self for the first time in the ARCA series. He only ran a couple of times that year with the Sinclair brand on it.
Right.
Then they stepped up the program. You know, they found what worked for them. They found their trigger points, and they took another step forward, and now they're running a full season. And people need to take a look at that are within the sport.
Right,
you know?
But a lot of that success that they're seeing is built through what Michael himself has done to activate it.
No, 100%. And that's the
cool part.
Exactly, and the neatest part is that they've got the platform, which is the series, to do it with.
Right, right.
You know, and you need that platform, and you need to understand what that platform can do for you. But that same model and that same platform can be used for the APC series. The same thing can be used for the Parts for Trucks Tour. If you're a guy that's racing Thunder Cars or Super Stocks or Lightning Class in the Maritimes or Legends Cars, and you want to take the step up to the next division, it's taking a page out of that book. And it's not going after $1 million. It's going after, you know, $10,000. It's not going after, you know, a $10 million partnership. It's going after a $500,000 partnership for whatever the next level that you are going to is where you're shooting.
Right.
And, you know, you have to lay out a platform that accounts for every penny that you're asking for.
Yeah.
And
it has to be worth it.
You won't get the money ever again if you don't give them, you know, $2 for every dollar that they give you.
Right.
You know, it's just that's the way it works. And it's so cool to see somebody having success with that model. And it's not just somebody. There are other guys in the ARCA series have similar partnerships. And there's other guys in ARCA and K&N and the Xfinity series. And the list is long. But it's just cool to shine a spotlight. He won. It's a great opportunity to talk about that, to shine a spotlight on it. Because I think that anybody that is in the short track realm, you know, can take a page out of his book and really make their program better.
Yeah, they sure can. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines up early tonight. How about that? 888-572-2384 is our hotline number. The number again, 888-572-2384. We'll get to your calls at the on the other side of the break.
Hey, race fans. Mike Skinner, pole sitter of the Daytona 500 in 1997. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
Whatever gets you through the night.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Racetime Radio.
Morning, dickhead.
Hello, moron. Ha!
All my friends, Miller Lowrider.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Big weekend for Kyle Busch Jr. He wins Xfinity. He wins a cup race. Good weekend to be Kyle.
Yeah, he tried to do the sweep last week at Vegas. Didn't quite get there. Of course, he got the sweep this weekend. There was only two. Two out of two. Now, he's done the 3 out of 3 twice at Bristol.
Right.
He was shooting for it at Vegas last week. I wonder how many times he swept the Xfinity and the Cup race. That sweep. I don't know how many times he's done that.
I don't know either. Here's some clips with Kyle after his win yesterday.
Yes.
And what Kyle was thinking for, what's a goal after the 200? After he gets the 200 wins, what's the goal?
I don't know. You just 250, I guess, you know, the race to 250. Certainly, as I get older here, it's going to start slowing down. And with the restrictions that I'm under, it's going to start slowing down. It already has slowed down. I would have been to 200 a hell of a long time ago if I could have run as many races as I wanted to and truck and Xfinity and whatnot. But, you know, it's about being able to win on Sundays. You know, I feel like I've won a bunch of races on Sundays. I've got 51 of them. And, you know, the race there is going to be the race to 100 on that side. So I think that's kind of what I guess the next goal will be, is to, you know, try to get 100 cup wins.
Make that 52, not 51.
That's right.
Because that was done yesterday. That's how fast this thing changes.
Yep, definitely. He's a winning machine, absolutely, right now. He's definitely in his prime, and he's in the best equipment. He's in, you know, he's got the best people around him. There's, you know, he's got a very, very bright future in wins, in the win column still.
Big time.
You know, 250 is not out of the realm. It doesn't. We can't even speculate on where he's going to be at. We were talking off air during the commercial break here, and you know, I can see him being competitive in Xfinity and trucks until he's like 50 years old.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And there's no question about it. Is he going to last that long? And that's what you said.
Yeah,
is he going to
hang it up before then? I don't think you'll see him racing into his 50s.
The guy would race everything that he could possibly race right now. The only thing that holds him back from running every truck weekend, every Xfinity weekend, and every cup race is the fact that he's not allowed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That's the only thing.
Well, it sort of leads into this next clip. Have a listen to this one. This is, he can hit the 200 now at Auto Club. And I believe, if I remember correct, Kyle does talk about the restriction. At least I think he does in this clip. Have a listen.
You know, it'd certainly be nice to get it done while on the West Coast swing, but you know, it's not a necessity. It'll happen when it happens, and you can't push too hard and do stupid things or make mistakes in order to think too much about that number. You just got to let the race kind of play out and let it come to you, and that's what we did majority today. You know, it was not looking pretty there early on with Christopher as good as he was and us not being so great. And then we just kept working on it, making adjustments to it, kept getting our car better, got closer to Christopher, and was able to actually hold him off there second to last restart, I think. And then, you know, from there, the last run of the race was really good for us, too.
Okay, so it wasn't that particular clip.
It was the previous one they talked about.
It was, yeah. And the restrictions thereof, right?
Yeah, so the restrictions, you know, NASCAR allots a certain amount of times that you can strap into an Xfinity car or a cup car or a truck if you're a cup driver.
Seven times, I think.
Correct.
Seven?
Yeah.
Five? Seven?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's just an obscure number, but it's because all the fans cried that they were sick of watching Kyle Busch win.
fans did, or do you think maybe the competitors had something to say about it?
I mean, it doesn't matter who. I don't think that there's a competitor in the field that has any self-respect that wouldn't want to race against Kyle Busch. If you are in the series and you are complaining about a guy that's in the series, you need to pack your stuff up and go home.
Yeah.
Because it's just the way that it is. If you are ever at a short track or a cup race or anything, and you look at a competitor and you say, he's too good, I shouldn't race against him, or I shouldn't have to race against him, then you need to quit and go play hockey.
You need to go and
have some fun playing croquet and just something that's in your little safety net, your little snowflake.
I don't think that it's, they don't want to race against Kyle. They just don't want to race against that caliber of equipment, maybe.
Well, the caliber of equipment never changes. It's how good the guy is.
And he is.
Brandon Jones.
He's amazing.
Brandon Jones has the exact same Xfinity car that Kyle Busch has.
Right.
Todd Gilliland has the exact same truck that Kyle Busch has. Harrison Burton has the exact same truck that Kyle Busch has right now at this current time.
Right.
When Kyle Busch straps into his truck, it's not 50 extra horsepower.
No.
It's not turning better.
No.
The setup might help it turn better because he can feel better and make an adjustment or call for a better adjustment. But that being said, he's in the same truck. So you're up against the same caliber. So if you're getting your ass waxed, you got to go up there, learn how to beat the guy.
Right.
And right now they get to race against him a couple times and they get destroyed. And then they complain about it. Oh, but I don't think that the competitor base is what complained or barred him from doing it. I think the viewership numbers reflected it, and everybody got scared. And I think that everybody, meaning NASCAR and the stakeholders, got scared because, I was even to the point where I wouldn't even turn it on if Kyle Busch was in it.
Right, because you knew he was going to win it.
Now, you knew that he had a good 85 or 90% shot at winning the race.
Right.
And, it's because he's that good.
Right.
But I think that if there's a bunch of drivers in that category, I think that if Kyle Larson could run every Xfinity race, he would do it.
Yeah.
And I think that, there's a bunch of guys in that same category that could be and could do what Kyle Busch is doing. The difference is Kyle Busch wants to do it.
Right.
And other drivers are just happy getting their paycheck from the Cup Series.
So, yeah.
And they don't do it. Like a Jimmy Johnson, for instance.
Well, it goes back to, is it a job or is it a passion job?
Right. And for some, it's a job and a passion, and that's a dangerous combination. That's, to me, is a racer. A racer is somebody that doesn't care what it takes to get there, will get there regardless, no matter what, wants to race everything with four wheels, and does not care what it takes to win.
Right.
And not saying that Jimmy Johnson is not a racer or because he doesn't run Xfinity. That's not where I'm going with this, but I am drawing the parallel between the fact that Kyle Busch wants to be in everything with four wheels and Jimmy Johnson doesn't. And, the list can go on and on in that category of guys like Jimmy Johnson that don't want to race everything with four wheels. They want to race Cup on Sunday, and they want to get home with their family.
Right.
And I have so much respect for a guy like Kyle Busch, whether it be a guy like Kyle Busch in the Cup Series or whether it be a guy like Bubba Pollard in the Super Lates or whether it be a guy like J.R. Fitzpatrick in the APC Series.
Right.
Those guys don't care what it takes to get on the racetrack in something.
Yeah.
They want to race.
Out there. If they got an opportunity, they're going to go.
They're going to go. And you know what? I would take a racer over a race car driver any day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to watch racers.
Yeah.
I want to watch 43 racers. I want to watch, not 43 anymore, 40.
40.
I want to watch 40 racers on the racetrack because I think that, back in the day, you used to have 40 racers, or you used to have 38 racers,
right?
Yeah. And you used to have one country singer and one guy that thought he could drive a race car back in the day. And today you see a couple of racers and a bunch of race car drivers. And, the fact that they are limited kind of gets under my skin a little bit, always has. But I am that same guy that turned the TV off when Kyle Busch had a 14-second lead. So there's a happy medium. We are an entertainment sport, yes, check that box off. But we are also a sport that needs to have the actual passion in it.
Well, and they used to have, and I used to hear it all the time, when you would have Cup guys in a race, be it truck, be it Xfinity, and you'd have a flood of Cup guys come in to either or,
yep,
it translated into ticket sales for either Xfinity or truck.
Correct.
Because you've got the star power in it. Now the fans are going to want to come out and see it rather than, you know, back that series because they like the series.
Yep.
I like the idea without the Cup guys in there. And those two other series are built on the merits of the guys that are racing in it full time.
Correct.
I like that idea.
I do as well.
I like it better than having the Cup guys in. If you ask me, that is a more of a, I don't know, it's a better way to attract fans. You know, when you start getting the guys that are in that series and building a name for themselves.
Yeah. And
I like it.
To be honest with you, I do as well. And what you had, you know, back in the 90s is you would have the true racers, and I'm going to throw out a couple of names here. Mark Martin, obviously, you know, yep, he would jump and race Cup every weekend and then, of course, jump into that Winn-Dixie 60 every chance that he got,
yep,
and
yep,
go out and dominate. He was absolutely incredible, won by 15 seconds every single time he was out there.
And the Scott 6 truck, right?
And the Scott 6 truck, same deal. Same thing with the 9 gain car and the Pennzoil number 9, you know, of Jeff Burton.
Right.
You know, every time he strapped into that thing, he was lights out fast and absolutely gone. You know, kind of towards the beginning of Kyle Busch and his dominance in the series, you had Denny Hamlin that would jump into the 20 car for those guys, for Gibbs, with that Rockwell sponsorship, and
yeah,
he would go
yeah,
out there
yeah,
and dominate. You know, we've had that model all the way through, and those guys did sell tickets, but the difference was every time they were in the race, there was also 15 other guys that were just as fast that would jump in.
Right.
And then when Kyle Busch started his dominance, there was only a couple of guys that were doing the whole thing, and that was Carl Edwards, and it was Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, and Kyle Busch.
Right.
And really, for a long period of time there was only four guys that could win the race. And that was scary to a lot of people. Because,
well, they were taking all the top dough, right?
Well, they were taking the top dough. They were taking the top sponsorships. They were doing all of that great stuff. And they were making hay doing what they were doing.
Well, they couldn't have been making too much hay because I don't think a guy like Kevin Harvick would have thrown the towel in and cashed all the chips in if he was making big coin.
Correct. He owned the team, though.
Right.
He owned the team.
Well,
and
so does
Kyle
Busch
with KBM, but he drives in the Xfinity series for Joe Gibbs, right?
Right, and, right. It's not his effort.
KHI grew to a point, a staggering point, very quickly. And the talks that he talks about, you know, he exploded and he grew way too quick and got to the point where he couldn't focus on his job. I think KHI was sustainable enough where it could still be around today. It's just that it got to the point where it was pick one or the other.
Yeah.
And I, you know, when you look at KBM, it is painted and it grew to a point as well where they had their two Xfinity program. You know, they had Xfinity, they had as well their truck program. Now they're just trucks. They have super late models and stuff like that on the smaller side. Takes a lot less people, makes more sense. But, you know, when you looked at it back then, they were driving for the powerhouse teams and
yeah,
the Penske's
yeah, yeah,
of the world and the Chip Ganassi's and those guys. So, you know, they were bound to make a lot of money. They were bound to scalp the top dollars from the series and pull it back home.
Well, it would force the cost of everything right up the hill, right?
And that's where the cost went up for all the small guys.
Yeah, trying to get to be that middle of the road runner. With having that influx and those guys in it, it would have driven the cost up for everybody from there on back to try and catch them.
Correct. But the craziest part is they drove the cost up, And then now NASCAR has stopped them from allowing to compete in there.
Right.
But the cost is still elevated because they already drove the cost up.
Well, you can't unlearn it, right?
You can't unlearn what you've already learned.
No.
There's no possible way to do that.
And you can't pull the money back.
No. So what they're trying to do, and I think that they're doing a great job with two different capacities, but they're only dipping their toes in the water at this point, is the body and the aero side of the Xfinity cars. When they did that, that changed Xfinity in a big way.
Oh, you know, yeah. It did.
It allowed a Johnny Davis to be competitive.
Yep.
It allowed a Mario Gosselin to be a top 20 car.
Right.
It allowed a lot of those types of things for a lot less money.
Right.
The truck series, taking a different realm, you know, the bodies, there's still a little bit of the Wild West stuff that happens in the bodies of the trucks.
Yeah.
But they have the Elmore engine. But you have a multi-million-dollar motor program in the Xfinity series if you want to be competitive, versus a much lower cost option with the Ilmor or not Ilmor, but the spec engine in the trucks.
Right.
So I think that in the next couple of years, and NASCAR's obviously taken this and looking at it, but I think the combination of those two, the spec engine style platform with the spec body. NASCAR is going to take a step, and that is going to be a cost deterrent, because really, once you take that stuff that you've already learned and eliminate it,
right,
that's how you can cut the costs again. That's a long road. If you try to implement that motor program, it's not saving any money. It's increasing money, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you try to implement that motor program in Xfinity right now, they just had to spend $1 million on bodies.
Right. Right.
So to conform to the rules, now you're going to have to spend another $1.5 million or $2 million
to change engines. Yeah.
So create a bunch of boat anchors at the same time. So, long story short, I hate the fact that they're limited in they're limited who can race in the Xfinity series,
right,
or the trucks. I love the fact that they're building names now in the Xfinity and the truck series.
Me too.
But I look at it as artificial name growth because
they're not going
out and beating Kyle Busch.
No, well, they shouldn't have to go out and beat Kyle Busch. They're going to beat Kyle Busch when they get up to the Cup Series. So
how'd you do it in the '80s? How'd you do it in the '90s when you beat Dale Earnhardt?
Well,
when you beat Dale Earnhardt, you got a Cup ride.
The final clip with Kyle Busch. I'm going to run it right now, and it's Kyle talking about is there a plan and how is he going to celebrate that 200th win when it comes? Here's what Kyle had to say. I believe it was Bob Pockers that had asked this question.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what are you going to do, right? So I don't know. I don't know what the game plan is. Hopefully NASCAR's got something figured out because it's their sandbox, and whether or not they want to blow it up and make it special for someone who's won 200 races or not, then so be it.
Ah, so there is no big Kyle plan for celebrating the 200 win. Maybe NASCAR.
Yeah.
I think they'll have something done, don't you?
Or is
it just going to be a 200 win?
I imagine that they will, but like, what kind of special thing can you do for that? You know, like it's, you can throw confetti in the air, and they're going to do that anyways because you won. I mean, there's no special trophy that you get for winning 200.
No. And it's 200 amongst the three series.
You're guaranteed to be a Hall of Fame member at that point. I think that that's a buy-in.
I think he was guaranteed that on the 51 Cup wins.
Correct. And I think you were guaranteed that already.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you see a guy that scores the most amount of goals in hockey, what do? They shoot confetti and they put a big sign up and it says, this is how many.
Doesn't even do
and
that,
and he gets to
think.
Take the puck home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the same thing, you know, the most career points or whatever in a football game or a hockey game or a basketball game. I mean, like, what can you do? There's nothing that is going to replace the actual number. I think the stat means more to Kyle Busch than anything else.
Yeah, I believe it. Okay, we're going to hit this break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Kurt Busch, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
We're in trouble.
Coast to coast.
Coast to coast.
You're listening to Canada Talks.
The
NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24-7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167. Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Maybe you are tuned in on Sirius XM Channel 167. Hello to you. Or maybe it's the Performance Motorsport Network.com that you'd be able to listen to Racetime Radio two or three times a week. Or how about Gearhead Country Radio or 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello to all of you. If you happen to have missed the show or missed part of it, you want to go back and listen to the whole thing, absolutely no problem. Get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. And presto, just like that, each and every time we do an edition of Racetime Radio, you will get a copy of it. You'll be all set and ready to go. But I am going to bring up something here, Junior. It was show weekend, not just here. In Ontario, big show out in eastern Canada as well. I believe the Parts for Trucks was doing a big show in Halifax, some big outdoor show. Seen a clip today on Facebook with Tim Terry talking with Brad Eddy. Yes. Sounds like he is going to go racing again.
I've seen that. That's definitely exciting. Of course, Brad was a longtime competitor in the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour. You know, he dabbled a little bit. He came back for a little bit, right?
Yeah, he was with Jerry Hayes last year.
Yep, came back and definitely cool to see his name cross paths again. And it'll be pretty interesting. He was always a hard-nosed competitor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He was a great guy to watch.
It's going
to
be cool. The Parts for Trucks Tour, we're going to start previewing tonight. We're going to hear from Kent Vincent out in PEI. We're going to hear from Kent in hour number two here tonight. We'll also hear from Jason Hathaway. Big news with Jay Hathaway. He retired last year, was out. We've seen him in some late model stuff, seen him in the IWK 250. He was out running around, but he wasn't doing the full-time Pinty's deal. All of a sudden, the number three is going to have Jay Hathaway back in it full tilt for 2019. It just came out at Motorama this weekend, and we got Jason coming up an hour or two.
And we will talk about that for sure and kind of get a preview. Of course, last year he was there at a lot of the Pinty's races.
Oh, yeah.
With EHR.
He was on the box last year,
with Cole Powell. Not as a crew chief.
I thought he was on top of the box.
He helped Cole Powell, you know, a lot and worked with him and just kind of a driver coach and part of the team. I would call an acting general manager, kind of, you know, that was kind of the role that I seen him in. I don't know the exact title of what he did, but it was Hey You. Really cool to see the news that he's going to be back full time and looking forward to seeing, you know, what all came together to make it happen. And it looks like he's got some great sponsorship on board. So
sure does.
Should be cool with that front as well. From the show, we've seen Mark Dilley and Kerry Mix make the announcement. Mark Dilley, of course, going to be full time back in the 64 car.
Yeah.
With Leland and Watson's and all those guys back on full time with the number 64.
Yeah. Somebody was beating him up on Facebook too. Facebook? There was a lot of yipping and yapping going on in there, right?
I see. There was a post on there.
Was there? Just a couple of guys?
Just a couple of guys shooting their traps off. A bunch of keyboard cowboys. But Mark Dilley, over the last couple of years has kind of, you know, obviously stepped back, kind of a part-time role in the Pinty series.
Right.
And ran some ovals, ran some road courses, just kind of part-time for the last couple of years. The fact that he is back full time, he's going to be guns a-blazing, and he had some good speed last year. You know, I think back to seeing
Edmonton. Edmonton is a track that guy does well at.
Yep, and the O2 team, the Kerry Mix team, they lit the lamp in qualifying last year at Chaudière. They came like swinging at every oval track. It seemed like they, you know, would come out of nowhere. In practice, they would be good, a top eight car, and then in qualifying, they would double that and be better than that, you know, whether they were in second, whether they were in fourth. And that was with a part-time effort. There's not enough that can be said about when you put together an effort full time in the Pinty series,
right?
Versus trying to run it part time. When you step out a week, you lose a lot of valuable data. Even though the track that you raced on last week is nothing like the track that you're going to race on this week, the guys that are on the track every week, the DJs, the Andrew Rangers, Mark Antoines, the Kevin Lacroix, the Dumoulins. When you are on track every single week, it doesn't matter. You learn every single time you hit the track, and the sport is evolving every single day. I know they had a team at the racetrack every week, but the same driver, the same combination, same crew chief, they get into a rhythm, and there's nothing that can buy that chemistry. And really, you look at Michael Self. We had him at the beginning of the show.
Right, right.
Part-time, minimal success.
Right.
Very minimal success. Full time, boom.
Look out.
Full time, you've got the mojo, you've got the excitement, all of that great stuff. And I think Mark Dilley is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the series.
So there's no real rust to knock off.
Absolutely not.
He and Kerry have done this forever, right?
Forever.
Since the NASCAR days.
There's absolutely no. And same with Jason Hathaway.
Oh,
there's no
absolutely.
Rust to be knocked off for either one of those guys.
I kind of think Jason's going to pick up exactly where he left off. But Junior, we are getting real close to the top of the hour. Got to throw it back to Toronto. Get you up to date on some news, some stuff you may have missed. It's a quick little package, and we will be back for hour number two. And we got some great guests coming up, and you don't want to miss it. We got Jason Hathaway coming and Kent Vinson from PEI. We're going to catch up with him tonight on this show. So we don't want you to go anywhere. It'll only take about 90 seconds. And we will be back for hour number two. So stay right there, sit back, relax, and we will return in just a couple of moments.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight, right here live on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Junior, what other headlines did you see? NASCAR Pindy's related coming out of Motorama. Did you? I seen the picture of Andrew Ranger's car. Looks pretty hot. That Mopar Dodge looks. Looks different than it did last year.
It does. It looks a lot different. There's a lot more blue to it, and a little bit more splashy graphics, and definitely looks cool. Obviously, we've seen it sounds silly, but the unveiling of what they look like with the general tire on them.
Yeah, tire.
We see the general tire on the Pinty's cars. There's definitely a lot of buzz about that. They definitely look different. We see them on the ARCA cars. We see them on the K&N cars now as well.
Yeah, but there's no doubt there is going to be a learning curve for these guys. These tires are general tires. They are not Goodyear. If maybe, the series was running on Hoosiers, and this year they said general on the side of it, I wouldn't be saying there's going to be this big learning curve. But you got a different manufacturer now. That general tire versus a Goodyear, I can't see there going to be any similarities between the two.
No, and when you look at any time you change a compound, there's a lot of learning. Because really, it changes everything.
Well, they're not two different companies, right?
Exactly, and with this, you're not just changing compound with the same company. You're changing now a completely different tire, and there's going to be a learning curve. The fans aren't going to see the difference.
No.
The fans are not going to see the difference, and to be honest with you, the drivers, they're going to feel a difference. From last year, the unknowns are the biggest portion. Heading into it, of what they're going to do underneath
the drop
you.
Off.
What's the drop off? What do you got to do to save tires? You know, these guys that have
will
been racing the Goodyears.
Will you have to save tires?
Exactly.
You may not have to.
When you look at, it's going to be a very similar tire to what you see on the ARCA series, and what we've seen last night. Those guys drove hard for a very long amount of time at one of the roughest, most aggregate-filled racetracks that you
right.
can be on.
Right, five flags,
and
yep.
they were still handling very well at the end, visibly.
Right.
The guys who get out of the box with the most amount of knowledge about what's going to happen with the tire, none of these teams at the front in the Pinty series don't have connections to the ARCA series.
Right.
They all have 10 numbers in everyone's cell phone that works on the team that knows people who work in the ARCA series.
Right.
And who compete in the ARCA series and who have used these general tires / Hoosier tires with heavy stock cars.
Right.
So they can gain data. They're completely different. They're on different racetracks. They're on different surfaces, different environments, all those great things. It's not a massive adjustment that you're going to see on the racetrack from, watching at home, watching on TV. But I think that it's going to allow some teams to jump out of the box a little bit stronger. And those guys are the ones that have knowledge or working knowledge of the tire and who do their homework on what they're going to do underneath them.
Well, I think the biggest difference is going to be when they hit the road courses and they come out with rain tires, right? The Goodyear rain tire that they had at CTMP, and they had to use those rain tires, I can distinctively remember hearing from the race teams, those wet tires were terrible to race on.
Absolutely.
They were hard hockey pucks. They weren't a rain tire. If you listen to Tags, he said, forget it. Those tires are junk.
Yeah.
We really need a good rain tire. Now, when it comes time for a general tire and the association that they have with Grand-Am, with all the stuff that they do, I kind of think they're going to have a real decent rain tire. So when we get to CTMP, if we get inclement weather, I wouldn't doubt we're going to see a big difference on the rain tire side of things when it comes time for general.
To be honest with you, as a spotter, I hope we don't see the rain tires at all
because it
sucks to stand in the rain.
Absolutely.
But number one, I agree 100%. And to be honest with you, I don't think that the Goodyear tires themselves are that bad. It's the fact that they're 5 years old sitting in the trailer for that long before they actually get used in the rain.
Yeah,
and I think you face the same type of problem with those tires. We only race road courses a couple times a year and just under half the schedule is road courses. But
I was going to say, just a couple times a year?
But really, when you think about it, it's only five or six, right? What is it? Six road courses that we go to. The ratio to rain and the times that you race on, you only hit rain a couple times in that realm. And are you on track when it is raining? You know, we only had rain, you know, in the race once last year, twice. They do sit in the trailer a long period of time. It's not like they're fresh slicks all the time that are
right.
all constantly getting circulated through the truck, through the tire truck. It is a problem that you know, it's very tough to get a fresh set of rain tires.
Right, right.
No matter what, they've sat there for a long period of time.
I think the construction of them is going to be different. And
it will be.
I can't wait to see what it comes out with. Hopefully they don't need the rain tires, but if they do, it'll be kind of cool if we got a really good rain tire that those guys can actually go racing on.
Yes.
That would be cool.
I want to give some shout-outs to some of the best in shows that I've seen just from the coverage that we've seen from down there.
Sure.
And I got to give a big shout-out to Rodney Rutherford, the 38 team. That's Studebaker Oscar Hot Rod, number 38, with the patina look, with the graphics on the side. I got to give a big shout-out to them. Such a cool-looking race car. I got to give a shout-out to the number two of Tyler Hahn and Daniel Hahn as well, the Oscar Hot Rod and Oscar Modify – or Oscar
Pro Sprint.
Oscar Midget, yep. Both of those race cars look impeccable and amazing. So hats off to you guys for that. As well, Danny Benedict, the 54. That thing looks –
it looks
incredible.
Fast just sitting there.
It does. It looks like it's doing 200 miles an hour stopped, and that's what I like in a race car. The body style that they hung in the Sauble Speedway booth on Rick Walt's car, it's the new style Camaro body.
Looks amazing.
Looks amazing. They did a great job with that. Car looks good. I got to give a big shout-out to Kelly Balson with the 10 London Rec Oscar Modified. That thing looks amazing and incredible. Graham Anus and those guys, GTA and, you know, London Rec and all those guys, they put a lot of effort into making that stuff look good over the last couple of years. And, man, they've turned a corner. That 10 car looks amazing.
Does it? I didn't see it.
Didn't?
I didn't see the 10. Seen the 36 of Gary Elliott.
Yep.
That car probably looks better live than it does in the photos. I didn't mind the look of it. It just wasn't Gary's typical 36, like from the photos I've seen. So kind of maybe not a fair comparison there. There was a lot. Oh, yeah, look at that 10. Yeah, it looks pretty odd, doesn't it?
Doesn't that look good?
Yeah, it does. It isn't blue and yellow like Mike's stuff normally is.
No. So it
is a little different way,
it is a little different. They did an incredible job, and it's a great-looking race car.
Yeah.
So if I had to, you know, best in show, looking down through the list, I have to give a shout-out to all those guys and really to everybody that shows up. You can't, like, best in show is what it is. But those guys did an incredible job in making their cars look and stand out.
Big time stuff. Those guys getting prepared for the Toronto show. It's always a special time of year. And really, it's the kickoff to 2019. On this side of the border, we get the show out of the way. You know, the next thing to come up is cars on track. And it looks like we got a lot of cars well prepared and ready to go for 2019. And that's the cool part. What else did you see come out of the show? Anything else that stands out?
You know, some of the things that stand out to me was the excitement level. You know, there was a lot of youth there by the sounds of it.
Good deal.
You know, and from talking to guys and teams and stuff like that that were down there, there's a lot of youth, you know, walking around, both competitor youth and as well, you know, future competitor youth walking
right.
around. You know, that's something that it's a good indicator that the sport is definitely, you know, in an upward trend. You know, one thing that was surprising to me was the and maybe it's because I follow and I obviously wasn't there. So but one thing that stands out to me is the lack of dirt involvement. I didn't see much dirt, you know, cars.
Clayton Jeffrey was there.
Yep. But
so
Oswego
must have been there.
Yeah.
I would think.
I didn't see a lot of photos of sprint cars and stuff like that. You know, from things that were there, dirt modifieds, and there might have been lots of them, and it might be because I interact and deal with a lot of asphalt guys, I will say it was cool to see a super modified in the Jucasa booth.
Right.
You know, seeing a super modified in Canada's show is pretty cool. And that is also a class that I really want to see at Jucasa.
Was that Mark's car by chance? Mark Zammit's car?
No.
You don't know whose car it was?
I don't know whose car it
in
was.
The Jucasa booth?
To be honest with you,
we'll find out.
He's the only guy that I know, other than Johnny Benson in the Super Modifieds, you know, by name.
Right.
I've never been a diehard ISMA guy or IMSA guy. Somebody's going to jump through the speakers here and come get me. I fangirl when I see a super modified on the racetrack. I love them.
Oh.
But
how could you not, right?
Yeah, but I'm not a super fan. You know, I can go down through an APC list and just look at the car and know who the driver is.
Right.
Same thing with like a parts for trucks tour. But, you know, I'm a late model guy at heart. But I love the look of a super modified. It seems like every year they kind of change up a little bit and look a little different as
right.
well.
Right.
You know, then that's what I like about them. They're just
and
they're
we'll
so.
See them, we'll see them back at Delaware, right? We'll
correct.
See them at
yep.
Jucasa Speedway. So we don't really get a lot of opportunity to see the super modifieds in Ontario, not like the old days, right? You would see them at Flamborough, you would see them all over the place. But they're a tricky car, man. Unbelievable fast. I think back to the days when we would have the All-Star Series. And we'd run on the same schedule as the super modifieds at Cayuga. It was nuts.
Yeah.
It was just off the rails.
100%. And just lights out fast. You know, you got to get out and see a super modified show just to even come close to understanding the love that people have for them.
Volusia County Speedway, back in the early years of me going down to Speed Weeks.
Yep.
Watching the super modifieds at Volusia County when the half mile was the asphalt track, unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable to see those guys. We're going to hit this break, Jeter. When we come back, we're going to grab Jason Hathaway, and we're going to talk some NASCAR pindies with an old veteran. Next. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Hey, race fans, this is Trevor Bain, and I'm glad you're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright. Dance to the light.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the SiriusXM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to meet you.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on SiriusXM.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio from SiriusXM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
Wow. It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
I tell you what's on my mind. It's butt cold out here, and I'm fresh out of beer.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. What do you say we bring in that guy that made probably the biggest news of the weekend? The guy drives the number 3 in the NASCAR Pinty Series here in Canada. At least he's going to get back behind the wheel of the number 3. Let's bring in Jason Hathaway. Jay, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Joe. How you doing, bud?
Doing fantastic. Good.
Just heading home from the Motorama show. Spent the weekend there seeing everybody and at the Fast Eddie booth. So just almost back home for the night.
You got to love it. Jay, what a beautiful looking number 3 car. You got the Kubota on the hood. Man, you're getting geared up for 2019. This is fantastic news.
Yeah, it's come along quickly, actually, truthfully. We've been talking to Kubota for month, about coming back, and they want to come back as primary this year, and they kind of have the whole team Kubota. We're Team 3 Orange now, officially, so it's pretty exciting. We got all our teams back in place from the last bunch of years, so we're in good shape. So we've got some new equipment on the way, and we got one goal in front of us, and that's for winning races and winning championships.
Wouldn't that be dynamite? Jay, do you feel recharged now? I know you're only out of it for a year, but do you feel recharged, reinvigorated, ready to go?
Yeah, you know what? I kind of missed it about, I would say, halfway through last year, especially in the NASCAR deal. I like the weekly grind of it. I like, you know, the 12, 13 races, you know, in the travel. I like that. Just the odd race that I did last year, even the year before, running a couple late model races. I mean, even though we traveled, I mean, we had a full NASCAR team last year, as well as running all the big pro late model shows too in Nova Scotia and Ontario. So, I mean, it's not like we weren't busy, our EHR team, but for me, I gotta get out and I gotta get in the car. If I'm gonna do it, I wanna be all in. So that was a big thing for me personally, and my team. So we've got great ownership and we've got great sponsors and a great team. And just from the outside looking in, watching last year of my team and other teams, and kind of seeing where we fit in and what we could do better and where they lack and where we can beat other teams, it was interesting, let's just say that.
How about the series itself, Jay? Have you, you weren't distanced from it. You were right by it. Most of the time you were in the pit area, if you will, overlooking what was going on. How much has changed in the series since you were full blast the last time?
I would say the series itself, is status quo. I would say the competition side of it is by far the best racing around. There's probably 10, 11 guys that can win any race or championship. It, you know, for me, sitting on the outside watching, even at the road courses, which I enjoy racing myself, but even watching with I remember just in Trois-Rivières watching Marc Antoine and Alex Nagy and Lacroix front racing and Andrew Ranger. And actually, Scott Steckley, he came down and jumped up on top of my box, and him and I watched it together. And, you know, just the talent level in our series, in the Pinty series, is exceptional. There's nobody, and I'll tell you, Joe, anybody that will jump into this series and think they're going to whoop anybody's ass. It just doesn't happen. So the guys that are in it know what they're doing. They've done it for a long time, or they've got, you know, good people in place to help them and point them in the right direction. And talent-wise, it's by far the best racing in Canada.
100% echoed, and really the neat dynamic about the Pinty series versus, you know, any of the series that is even south of the border, the competitor, you know, base here in Canada, you guys have built names for yourselves, and when you look at your name, you look at DJ Kennington and you know, Andrew Ranger and Marc Antoine and all those guys, you've got to be on your game every single weekend. And to be honest with you, Jay, I am super excited to see your name added back to the list for that reason. You know, it just adds even more depth. Not that Cole Powell didn't add depth, because he was a strong competitor every single week, but the veteran side in the Pinty series is kind of the coolest part about going to watch these races. Talk a little bit about, you know, last year and in the late model ranks and versus that, you know, the competition level of what you did last year versus racing every single week in the Pinty series.
Yeah, no, you're right. The talent level is big time in the Pinty series. And we did the rental program last year with Cole Powell, and it was positive. It was positive for our team and positive for Cole and kind of making a name for himself. So, you know, everybody knows Cole Powell and knows he can drive a race car now. So it was a good fit, and it was a lot of fun for that year. So, on the Pro Late model side, it's fun. I like the Pro Late models. It's just, if you're not in it week in and week out, like, it's hard to do. You're not going to jump into the, I mean, I go to the IWK and I go to Riverside, and for me to jump in and race one or two times a year with those guys that run week in and week out and test out there, yeah, we were fast. I mean, I think we qualified third. We were fast. I think we won our heat again. I mean, I'm getting really good at winning heat races at Riverside. I can't finish a race, but I'm really good at winning heat. So that doesn't pay for the fuel to get home. But, you know, we're fast out there. We just could never capitalize on a good finish out there. But it's fun. I mean, don't count me out of the IWK 250 yet. So my wife just rolled her eyes, but I've got a few tricks up my sleeve to try to make that race this year.
We love you, Jamie. We love you. Just let him go one more time, Jamie. Jay, it leads me to my next question then. Is that going to be it for the Pro Late Model stuff? Or are you just going to go full tilt Pinties and leave everything else off to the side? Or have you even let your mind go there with all the effort you're going to be putting into this? Really, it'll be tough to go run anything else.
Yeah, well, my mind's always running. Definitely we're going to run the Jucasa, the Short Track Nationals. We're signed up for that already with Kubota and Fast Eddie and Chaco. So that's a done deal. Obviously the 13 races in the Pinty Series full-time plus testing. We may have an opportunity for a teammate to run four road course races this year as well out of the HR shop. So that's another interesting dynamic that may go into our team. And like I said, the only other pro late model race that I've got on my is the AWK 250. So that race means a lot to me to try to win that thing sometime.
Hey, you're very extremely close, Jay. You can't get much closer without winning it. Set fast time. You've been right up at the front. You've led laps, and you've just had little gremlins that'll come out and get you. One of these days, all of the stars are going to align, and you're going to be the guy. But
I hope so.
It's going to be amazing. This year, what will you start out with then for the Pindy Series? You got the same inventory you had last year that Cole drove. You mentioned you had some new stuff coming. Is it new chassis? And what will you start the year out with?
And what are the nuts and bolts that you're going to bolt to it? And then I want to know the geometry as well for the ovals specifically. If you could elaborate on that, that would be great.
Truthfully, I don't know any of it. So,
liar.
We're going to build a brand new road course car this year. And we have the road course car from last year that we redid it. It's from ground up. It's pretty much a brand new car. And then our oval car, we rebuilt it as well, ground up. So it's pretty much going to be a brand new car too. So we'll have all Camaros, in our stable this year. So last year we never started the team until March. So we were kind of late behind everything we did. So this year we're well ahead of, you know, schedule, and we're on the scales today of the old road course car, so it's scale already. So that one just needs some decals, and it's ready to go. So we're built some new car.
A little bit of sell hell, but hopefully we still got you, Jay. No, we don't. Okay, well, we'll have to call Jay back, and I know Sue can do that. I'll just hit drop on that one.
Welcome to sell hell in Canada.
Yes.
Right? Just anytime you call into Race Time Radio and you're on a cell phone, we're just cringing because we know that that's probably going to happen.
Well, he's on his way home from
exactly.
the show, right?
Exactly.
So
it happens.
Just about at the door. We'll try him back again.
100%.
Yeah.
But
kind of cool to hear that he's going to be back in the series. You got to know that Jason Hathaway's record, before he retired out, man, he had a winning percentage going. He was winning a lot of races. And I know when he stepped back, I was going, what are you doing? Everything was just starting to connect.
Yep.
And he stepped back. I've got a sneaky suspicion, though, that Jason Hathaway is going to step in and pick up exactly where he left off.
Well, if you look at the speed that the three car had last year with Cole Powell behind the wheel, they were a rocket ship every time they unloaded at an oval. And Jason touched on it a little bit, that he is passionate and he likes racing on the road course side of things. And he's got a lot of experience doing that. And it's something that's so cool. There's got to be, if you could bet on the Pinty Series, you got to put some money on the Hathaway.
Oh, absolutely. We got him back on the hotline, I do believe. Jay, we got you back.
Yeah.
Hold your left arm up out the window, and you won't lose us.
Yeah. No,
that be a longer coat hanger.
Yeah, a longer one. Yeah, no kidding. Jay, the record you had before you stepped back from the series, you had an incredible season going. You did a lot of winning. Man, you almost took the points series home. I guess you're going to be wanting to pick up exactly where you left off, right?
Well, I'm hoping we are. So we kind of, when we decided to step back, we ended up winning. So not a better way to end a kind of a retirement that was short lived. But anyways, we're hoping we can, you know, we had a good car last year on the ovals, and we're hoping we can just take right off the way we ended the year. We were real good at Ducasse the last race with Cole, and I think we've got a good notebook from last year that we can build on.
Now, I guess we throw the new General tire at it. It's going to throw a little wrinkle. What do you think about that?
Oh, well, it's great for the series. I mean, they've brought something new, you know, and they're dedicated to the series for a bunch of years. They're going to pump some money into it, too, for promoting it. So that's activation side, and promoting the series is big. So I'm all in. I mean, it doesn't matter to me what it is. If they're going to be on board and partnered in with the series and teams, and we're all in the same tire, then I'm in. Doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I just wonder what it's going to feel like under the guys. If it's going to feel different, I can't imagine that it's going to be drastically different, other than when you get to the road course and we pull out the rain tires, because what you guys used to be on for rain tires, those things were brutal.
Jesus, those weren't even rain tires. I held my breath from the minute we took the green in the rain to the time we finished, so...
Yeah, it was amazing. It really was incredible. Testing, what do you got lined up? When are you going to test first? What do you think?
We're going to get on the road course car. We're going to shake down the old road course car first and get some seat time. And then we get the NASCAR test on April 30th, I believe it is, at CTMP. So that'll be good. That's coming up earlier than it normally is. So we'll be definitely be testing at CTM probably at least three times before the first race. New car, old car, and old driver.
Not that old. Not that old. But you're pretty old.
Yeah.
Jay, obviously you touched on, you know, the IWK 250 is kind of a bucket list race to get off, you know, to get the monkey off your back and get that win. But looking at the Pinty schedule, you've had a lot of success on a lot of different racetracks. But look at the Pinty schedule for a second. And is there a track that owes you something on that list?
Honestly, St. Eustache. We've had really, really good cars at St. Eustache every time we've been there. And I won there back in the Cascar Sportsman days and always ran well there. And we've always been fast. We've been in the back and ran into trouble and come to the front and on and on. And I could write a book on it. But that track owes us. And for having the last race there before something, before it closes would be something for us as a team. To finally get that monkey off your back would be a great spot to win. And those fans in Montreal really know how to get behind a driver that wins. So that party may go on a little later in the night if we win that one.
Sign me up. I'll be at that one. That'll be a good one. But one question I gotta throw out there here, and it'll be just a comical one. But are you gonna shoot for Cole Powell's record of wheel hopping at 11 tracks?
I don't know. That's a car issue, probably.
I'm just joking around, but that's it'll be funny.
We ran into a little bit of issues there last year on a couple things, but no, it was good. It was good learning curve last year for us as a team, and Cole did an exceptional job. He's a hell of a driver, and wish him all the success, whatever they do, whatever Cole gets into, and I'm sure we'll know where he is if he's running, because he'll be up front.
Yeah, he'll be up there running with you. I can guarantee it. Jay, what was the show like? You guys had a good time down there. It was nice to see. I've seen some photos. Unfortunately, Junior had to bring home some kind of virus that I catch on Saturday. The only day I could have went, and I spent the day, well, I don't need to tell you where. I think you know. But I'll tell you what. It looked like it was a good show. Lots of Pindy's guys out signing autographs. How was the show?
Yeah, it was real good. It was real good. Saturday was really busy. Probably the best Saturday I've seen in probably several years. Today was good. It was busier than normal than last year. Obviously, Saturday's the best, kind of the best day to go. But it was good. Yeah, Mark Dilley was there and had an announcement that he was coming back full time, and Andrew Ranger was there and some of the guys. So it was good. It's good to just catch up with everybody it's kind of brings back the race season, I guess you'd say, meeting everybody and saying hi and hearing everybody that wants to glad we're back and so on. So that was kind of cool. I guess we do have a few fans out there to keep happy.
Yeah, I'd say more than a few. There's a lot that cheer for that three, I can guarantee it. Jay, this has been great catching up with you tonight. I know we can't wait for the beginning of the season, and even more so now to hear that you're going to be back behind the wheel of the number three in the NASCAR Pinty Series. That's cool news, buddy.
Yeah, it's great. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm glad we're back and we can do this together again and have some more fun this summer.
Absolutely, and as long as Jamie lets you go to the IWK 250, that would really make my season, I'll tell you that.
Well, silly her. She said we're going out for a vacation there. I said, well, no sense in going unless we got a race car. So we'll figure that out, and I'm sure Donald and I will come up with something.
Perfect. Good stuff, buddy. You take it easy.
Guys.
Glad you made it home safe. You got to be just about there.
Yeah, we're just pulling in the driveway. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Good deal. That's Jason Hathaway. You can watch for him in the NASCAR Pinty Series. He's going to go full tilt, Junior. This is going to be cool.
I'll be watching for him, all right.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely cool. You know, I haven't spotted against Hathaway in a long time, and Not that spotting is against a driver or anything. You know, it's just I've never, you know, I haven't spotted against Hathaway since I worked with J.R. Fitzpatrick back in the day. So, of course, this year working with DJK and those guys, it'll be definitely pretty interesting, and definitely a guy that, you know, the competitor base is going to have to keep their eye on week in and week out. He's got the caliber of equipment to be, you know, a championship contender, and there's definitely, you know, by the sounds of it, they've got a full-time partnership, which means that their guns are blazing. There's no half meal in that deal. Those guys are looking for lunch every single time, and it'll be a lot of fun. I imagine Jeff Gottlieb will be up on top of the stand for him. So
I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, it'll be elbows flying again. You know, between us, so it should be pretty fun.
Well, to put the whole crew back together again, that's cool. Now he hasn't been away that long, right? So
no.
To pull everything back together and pick up exactly where those guys left off is cool news. It's yet another reason why the NASCAR Pindy Series is going to be real cool to watch in 2019. We're going to hit our final break. When we come back, off to the east coast of Canada we go, all the way out to PEI, and we'll bring in a two-time winner of the IWK 250 and a longtime competitor in that Parts for Trucks tour. We got Kent Vincent coming up on the other side. Stay there.
Bonjour, ici Andrew Ranger, coureur de la voiture 27. Vous écoutez Race Time Radio. I'm Andrew Ranger. You're listening Race Time Radio.
Eddie waited till he finished high school.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me, I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady.
Me,
anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me,
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't...
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved Sirius XM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight. Ked bringing us back. I love that tune. He's good on that guitar, isn't he?
Sure.
He lets her rip.
Just an old guy.
Oh, old guy with a really good guitar.
sure.
So glad you could tune in tonight. What do you say we get back to the hotline and let's bring in How about a guy that has won that IWK twice? He's done it twice. He's from PEI, drives the number 8. Of course, I'm talking about Kent Vincent. What's going on, Kent? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Joe. Great to hear from you, buddy. How's things?
Yeah, doing good. How's winter treating you? You wintering okay out there?
It's been winter here since the long weekend in September. I think it's been cold and miserable, and the farmers had a hard time getting their crops and stuff out, but I'm ready for spring anytime here now.
I'm with you, brother. I'm telling you what, this has been the longest winter on record as far as I can tell. It's been a cold, long winter.
Yeah, it has been. We're maybe getting a breakdown here this week. It's supposed to get above the zero and get a little bit of rain, so maybe we can get some of the frost out of the ground here and get some racing in the air.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Kent, last year at this time, or around this time, you picked yourself up a brand new Crux number 8, and man, you were just ripping to get to the racetrack. How's that car now?
Car's good. We've been picking on it. Like you say, we lost time to work at it. The body and stuff just about being finished, being hung and whatnot, and kind of getting down to the nitty-gritty now, getting all the good parts on it. But, yeah, this time last year, Donnie Garnier and myself and Trevor Lamb kind of combined resources there and hooked up with Gary and got ourselves a car. And with his support, we made some leaps and bounds over the year. Last year didn't start that well. We got caught up in somebody else's misery right off the get-go and couldn't get going right off the get-go. But the last half of the season, we had Shane down from Gary's place. Real smart guy, gave us a lot of knowledge. And from there, we rebounded from our dismal start and finished off pretty strong.
Incredible. You know, you get a brand new race car like you guys got, and it doesn't matter what you do. It still takes a little bit of time, right, to get the feel of that new car, to get the benefits, really, of that new car. And there's no doubt, by the mid part of 2018, everybody knew that Kent Vincent was on that racetrack with that 8. You were flying.
Yeah, like I say, once we had Shane down from Gary, Gary came to help us there in Halifax. We got the thing going a little bit better, and then, of course, we caught up on a misshift fiasco there in Antigonish and tore the front of it off. But once we got chained down with the IWK, things really turned around for us. And, yeah, it takes a bit to get used to a new car. Everything's a little bit different. This car's a little bit different than the last one we had. But, anyway, like I say, we had great support from Shane and Gary, and actually excited about next year. Looking forward to it.
You got to love it when a new season is coming up. Did you change much with the race car over the off season, or did you just take it apart and redo everything and put it all back together?
Basically, yeah, just took it apart, redid everything. We'll concentrate in the basics. We got a good baseline there set from last year, and we'll go with that, and hopefully we can hit the ground running here in the spring.
How about testing, Kent? Do you get much test time in before the first race comes up at Petty International Raceway for the Parts for Trucks Tour? Are you going to get a chance to lay down laps?
If we can get enough guys out to shovel snow off Raceway Park down here, we might be able to get some laps on it. But normally we try to, yes, we'll try to. We'll probably get to Petty typically the week or 2 weeks before that race just to give it a shakedown, get the cobwebs off me, and see what I forgot to tighten up and whatnot in the race car, but we'll usually get a week in, yes, before the first week.
Kent, I like to talk about the business side a lot within motorsports, and you guys do a lot, you know, on the sponsorship side, and you guys raise lots of funds and do lots of great things for your partners. But your team is something that is very interesting to me, and I kind of want to shine a little bit of a spotlight on it. You and two buddies are partners within your team, and of course it's Vincent Lamb Garnier Motorsports, right? That's the title of it. I want to kind of shine a spotlight on that a little bit, and how you guys, you know, kind of handle that portion of it. You know, as much as information as possible, just because it's something that is so unique, and usually, you know, a team is owned by either the driver or there's a single car owner that is involved. But how do you guys structure that, and you know, kind of how did the whole thing come together? Because I think your model would work very well for numerous teams out there.
Well, kind of a long story. I'll try to sum it up. But Donnie Garnier and Trevor Lamb. Donnie used to race Legend Car years ago. Trevor's father, John, used to race Legend Cars years ago. So they were acquaintances. Anyway, we were at the IWK, I believe, 3 years ago. They were working on the car in Boston Pizza parking lot. Lo and behold, Donnie came driving along in his Mustang, and Trevor nabbed him. If you ever met Trevor, you're gonna have to give him an answer, yes or no, on whatever the deal is. Anyway, long story short, that started off. Donnie got us a couple sets of tires for that race. Later on the next year, we hounded him a bit more for direct tire sponsorship. He came on board with us, real good deal. And as the year progressed, I believe the bank was on PEI. And over a few pops, we started talking. Maybe we should join together, the three of us, and get something put together and maybe get a new set of wheels. And right now, the rest is history. So that's where we are. Pretty neat.
Absolutely.
That is a cool story, man.
The neatest part, and you know, not to speak, you know, for anybody, but the coolest part for me is that, you know, anybody that is a pit crew member or a spotter or a crew chief or even a tire changer on a Pinty's car, if you're a part of a team, you get the same feeling if that car wins as the driver does. And you know, the neatest part about that partnership is three guys combining, you know, resources is a heck of a lot more powerful than you trying to fund it out of your pocket or any team really trying to fund it out of their pocket. It's something that is so cool. And I encourage people to kind of check it out because I think that it's definitely pretty cool. And really, you don't hear a whole lot of it across the sport. You know, it's usually the driver. It's his last name that owns the team. If it's, you know, it's usually a single owner. But there's definitely a ton of value for each of you. You guys operate it just like a business.
Absolutely, and that's the way it was since I started racing in 1990 down here in Oysterbed. And, you know, I was the chef, cook, and bottle washer. You know what I mean? I had all the titles. And then when Trevor and Donnie approached me there a couple years ago, and I said, yeah, you know what, this may be cool. Take some pressure off me as far as trying to gain sponsorship and financial and whatnot. And, you know, it's kind of cool. And you talk about team. Last year, pretty well, 90% of us went down to Crooks Racing then with Gary and picked up the race car. You know, we were the happiest people. We were the happiest people on earth there right at that time. We got to meet Gary and got to load the car up in the trailer and stuff. And when you say team, it was a pretty neat feeling.
100%. Yeah.
And you guys deserved it too. You earned your way to that. And to go pick up a new car, you can bet Trevor and your other partner there. You guys would all had the same feeling picking up that new ride.
Yeah, absolutely. We were happy. Donnie was happy. Trevor was happy. And all the boys that were there. Like it was a neat film. Drove down the truck. Lots of good stories on the way down, and we won a lot of races on the way back that weekend. I tell you that.
Yeah, no 100%. Kidding.
100%. And Trevor knows how to tell a story. By the way. You know, I worked with him a little bit. Of course, we've interacted on Twitter and seen each other at the racetrack and stuff like that for years. But first time kind of spending the weekend together, he spotted for Tyler Young Motorsports at CTMP this year with me. I worked on the 12 car or the 12 truck with tags, and he worked with the 02 of Austin Hill. And we spent a lot of time together. That boy can definitely tell some good stories, and he'd be a lot of fun to be on the team, and a lot of fun on the radio, I imagine, too.
Yeah, it's good. He does a great job on the radio, and like I say, you've met him, and you're either gonna get you've got to give him an answer of some kind, no matter what the deal is, what the question is.
That's right.
It sure is. We're with Kent Vincent tonight, driver the number 8 in the Parts for Truck Store. He's from PEI. Kent, got to ask you, man, you got Oyster Bed Speedway right there in your backyard. The tour runs here twice in 2019. You guys go to Petty International Raceway in New Brunswick. You're going to be at Riverside International Speedway at a Scotia Speed World. When you lay all those tracks out, you're a two-time winner of the IWK 250. Is Riverside your favorite track, or do you think maybe Oyster Bed is one of those ones? Where's that next win going to come from when you look at 2019?
I like to win at home. It's special to win at home. Don't get me wrong, Antigonish is a beautiful spot to race, and it's a great venue for sure. But winning at home, as anybody would attest to, it's there's nothing better. You got your hometown crowd behind you, and it's pretty neat. So anyway, we're looking forward to getting back to PEI here for sure.
How about laps on that speedway? You must have a million of them, or do you? Do you have a lot of laps there?
Now you're aging me, Joe.
The gray hairs age you. Don't kid yourself.
we started racing in 1990. Dad, I kind of inherited the car from Dad back in the day from after it went from dirt to asphalt. Raced a 1973 Dodge Charger with leaf springs and torsion bars. Get that figured out. I think you can get anything done. But anyway, it was kind of neat. It's a beautiful racetrack under new ownership there now after the last bunch of years, and they're doing a lot of work and cleaning the place up, and it's looking good. I hope they can keep building on it.
You gotta love it when there's new blood getting into a speedway, and they want to turn it and they want to make it better. That's a cool feeling, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And the guys involved in it, they like racing. Robbie McLean's one of the guys that owns the racetrack. He's a racer himself. He wants to see it succeed for sure. And they want to see it to do well, and I hope it does it for them.
So looking at 2019, is this going to be the year? Do you think maybe a championship could be in the cards for the number 8 this year?
I try to play that card every year, Joe, and this year we're that much closer to it after what we've done the last year here or so with the new car and the partnership and whatnot. And yeah, we're going for it. It's time to get these young fellows off the pedestal here and get some of us old fellows back up.
And you know what? You can do it. I can guarantee that. Kent, watching you race out there for the last, I believe it's 9 years, we've been going to the East Coast and, putting live races on the air. I can tell you, man, you've got absolutely everything that it takes to win a championship. It's going to be a cool year watching you guys. I know that car isn't brand new anymore. You've got it where you want it now. And I think this is going to be the year that the number 8 is really going to shine.
I hope you're right. Like I say, there's a lot of work. The crew dedicates a lot of time into it. And, there's a lot of money invested in it as well. And you get the fool behind the seat to get the job done, I think we might be in good shape.
How's the sponsorship coming so far for the 8? You got things looking good there. Who have you got lined up already?
Things are looking well, Joe. We're in good shape. The car is pretty well full as far as sponsorship goes. We got TireCanada.ca on board big time with Direct Tire with Donnie Garnier's deal. And we're just looking to close out a few other small guys, but no, we're very fortunate, very good shape. If we can just close the season out now with a couple wins and make everybody happy, we'll be good.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to keep our eye on your social media. I know you guys are right on it. We'll keep our eye on that. But I guess I can't wait for spring. I can't wait for that first race. The first one we're going to be doing live is from Scotia Speed World. It's race 2 on the schedule. And I know I'm looking forward to it, but I know you'll be looking forward to that first one at Petty. That's always a good race for you guys.
It is. Like I say, we ended up... We started on the outside pole last year and didn't make the first lap. We were backwards into the turn 3 wall, somebody else's misery. But anyway, okay, well, we can get past that. Petty's a fun spot to race at. Wayne and his crew have been doing a lot of work there too. It's like I say, it's a it's becoming a great spot to race. It's fun racetrack. It's older, a little grittier, a little not much grip on it, and it's a lot of fun there too.
Absolutely. Have you seen the other racers, other guys that we know in the Parts for Trucks Tour? Have you seen any of the guys kicking around like Greg Proud or any of the McKinnons, any of those guys hanging around throughout the course of the winter?
No, I usually try to take some guys away from around here, but no.
Get out of my shop.
Get out of my shop, yeah. No. You meet the odd guy, you meet the odd crew member at the rink or whatever, have you over the winter, and we shoot the shit and carry on. No, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, good stuff. Man, I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to spring, Kent. This is going to be off the hook, buddy.
Yeah, I hope so. Hope this is our year. Like I say, we got great back and lots of help, and hopefully we can get it done.
Absolutely. Kent, thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. We will see you in the spring.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. That's the number 8, Kent Vincent. He is going to be, Joe, the new is out of that race car now. And I'll tell you what, those guys have got that thing exactly where they want it. You could see it at the end of the year. He was a threat to win every race from about mid-season on.
Yeah. When you get a brand new late model, I don't care if you're racing your local Saturday night track or if you're in a tour, you've got two things. One of two things can happen. You're going to be lightning fast out of the box because you found something when you built that car, or your chassis builder found something, or you're going to be lightning fast with bugs, and you're going to find things that, you know, you stumble upon. And, you know, it seems like they got the latter of the two last year at the beginning. They had to stagger through some different things and step on some landmines in order to get good. And towards the end of the season, they picked up. They, of course, relied on their chassis builder. Sounds like Port City and Gary Crooks and those guys, you know, gave him the appropriate amount of support.
Right.
And that's one thing that I can take away from that interview is those guys supported them and got them through those issues. And the speed chart reflects that. You know, looking back towards the end of the year, those guys, like you said, they came on.
Yeah.
And when you come on like that, once you have that momentum, it doesn't matter that there's a break for the off season. That momentum is going to carry forward. The opposite can be said about what happened with the 53 last year.
Yeah.
Right?
He built
a brand new car with the intention of fixing a few things that he wanted to fix. And was lights out fast with the new car. And you know, that is the best of both worlds. When you buy a brand new car, you have to work through bugs.
Well, you know what? The biggest bug was lap one, as Kent said. Lap one, race one with a brand new race car, and they barrel it off down into turn one, and he got turned.
Exactly.
He got turned, and he backed that car, that brand new car, and he backed it into the fence.
And creates a ton of bugs.
Oh, it hit the front end and the back end. It both ends.
Exactly.
So, like, heartbreak city for those guys.
100%.
And you got to really hand it to them that they took what was going to be, I'm going to say that was probably the worst day of their racing career.
Yeah.
And they had to get past that and say, okay, our brand new car is torn up. Let's put it back together and let's get out to race number two.
Yep.
And that's precisely what they did.
Yep.
And that is a true sign of a professional short track team when you can have big adversity like that and turn around and say, okay, that's just part of the game. Off we go.
We've seen it before where a guy gets a brand new car and bends the center section on night number one or night number two. You know, like
yeah.
that is,
yeah, yeah.
And that's a very real possibility. And you need to go into the season. That is where late model racing is today, is you have to go into the season realizing that that is a potential. And those guys did. They had their ducks in a line, and they were able to regroup and put it together and get out there and get after it. So hats off to them. I think that, you know, this season will be a lot different, and, you know, it'll be really interesting to see where they can end up. I know that you can tell he's guns a-blazing and excited.
Yeah, well, it's going to be off the hook. Can't wait for 2019 to begin. But that's going to do it for you and I tonight, Junior, in the studio. Got to thank Susie Q here in the Racetime Radio studio for hooking us up with all of our guests tonight. Got to thank you guys back in Toronto as well for getting us on the air. And we look forward to being back here next Sunday night, same bat time, same bat channel, right here on Racetime Radio. But that's going to do it for us. We'll see you next Sunday right here on Racetime Radio. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig, dig, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.